Okay, and now for an extraordinary story. Anyone who spent any time in hospital would know all about superbugs and be very, very happy if they get away without being infected by one. One of the most common ones is called MRSA. I'm sure I'm going to get this wrong, but it's called methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. And it's a nasty thing. It's becoming increasingly common in our hospitals. It's a kind of staph infection, and it's developed resistance to multiple kinds of antibiotic. The fear is superbugs like MRSA develop resistance to all antibiotics and will be plunged back into some version of the Dark Ages where a death from a cut finger or infected tooth was common. But it is back to the deep dark past of those pre-antibiotic days that researchers at the University of Nottingham have gone to come up with an alternative treatment. With me is Dr. Christina Lee. She's an Anglo-Saxon expert from the University of Nottingham. Thanks for joining us, Christina.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning to Melbourne.
This story utterly piqued my interest. Tell us about your potion.
This is a recipe from an Anglo-Saxon manuscript called Bald's Leech Book. It is dated to around the mid-10th century. This is a medical book that contains many, many recipes, but this one specifically is for the treatment of a sty in the eye. And a sty is caused by Staphylococcus aureus. So we thought it's a good one to test.
I love the idea of an Anglo-Saxon expert working with scientists and doctors to try and solve a problem like this. Tell me, is Bald's Leech Book a book that you've spent a bit of time in? Do you know it well?
I do know it well. I am interested in infectious disease, but also, you know, in the responses that the Anglo-Saxons had to illness. There's a number of medical books we've got from that period, which shows that people did not just accept illness. People tried to do something about it.
I love the idea that it's called a leech book. That tells us everything we need to know. Tell us then about the recipe itself. What drew you to this treatment for styes in particular?
Well, the recipe contains a number of allium species, and we do know there's some very good research going on about alliums and perhaps, you know, potential antibacterial effectiveness. And we also thought, you know, sort of the sty in the eye, this is something really interesting to examine. So we got together, we've got a little group here at Nottingham that is interested in infectious disease, and we put in a bid, as you do, to the university, and they gave us £5,000, which paid for a chronic wound model and, you know, for some of the ingredients, and we just tested, and then we were really surprised. None of us expected this to work.
So talk us through the recipe itself. What are the ingredients of this magic potion?
There are some allium species, there's some wine, some ox gall, and there's a brass vessel. The problem with Anglo-Saxon recipes is they don't give you the proper quantities. So what you need to do is to consider what you're going to put in there. And we did some experiments.
And so was it trial and error? I mean, did you, the wine, you said, what other kind of common ingredients were in it?
The whole kind of ingredients, you can look them up. But what we did is we tried to get ingredients that are closest to what the Anglo-Saxons would have used. So, for example, the wine we try to get from a vineyard that has been there for quite some time so that we don't have any kind of different soil conditions because it might influence the chemistry. We had a lot of debates about do we put it in the refrigerator or, you know, sort of do we leave it out? Because the recipe tells you that you have to leave it for 9 nights. And it's really interesting because it really becomes very effective in 9 nights.
That's a nice, very precise kind of direction there. I understand one of the key ingredients was cow bile. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yes.
How do you go about sourcing cow bile? Did you just steal it from the communal fridge or did you have to go out hunting?
No, you can obtain that. The scientists did that.
Picturing that great Roald Dahl book, George's Marvelous Medicine, where George just throws in everything he finds in the house and then feeds it to random animals to see what will happen. How did you go about testing it?
We did a number of batches and we tried these batches on the chronic wound model. So that is, it's essentially a form of testing how this would react in a wound. So it is not just, you know, sort of in a test tube, but, you know, sort of you put it in there. And we just waited what happened. And it was just really interesting to see how effective it was in the chronic wound model. Once we had some trials. We had about three trials before we asked a colleague in Texas, Professor Kendra Rumbaugh at Texas Tech, to do us a favor and do a mouse trial.
And so you continue to be kind of amazed by the outcome?
Yes, that was really, you know, stuff, because Kendra, like all of us, was skeptical, you know, in the beginning. And so we sent it over, and she tried to kind of dampen our expectations, saying that she tests a lot of material for the pharmaceutical industry. And there's a lot of people now trying to find solutions to antibiotic resistance. And this one came out incredibly well. And so there were repeat mouse trials, and there was just some phenomenal healing in there. And then, you know, so we tried it on MRSA.
Okay, so when you replicated these tests on human wounds, and I'm assuming you apply it directly to the wound, they don't drink
it. We haven't done it on humans yet.
Oh, okay.
And it shouldn't be used on humans, and that's why I'm a little bit cagey about the recipe. We've had a lot of people, you know, stuff that are obviously very desperate and understandably desperate. So this is just the beginning of a longer research process. We've had mouse trials and we've had chronic wound trials, and it is really important to remember that a lot of research now has to come. It has to follow this process.
No, of course. I misunderstood. In my excitement, I was picturing you kind of diving into the leech book to solve all the problems of the modern day. But I understand MRSA, of all of these kind of antibiotic-resistant bugs, is one of the kind of hardest ones to treat, and modern health services are spending billions on trying to counter it. Your findings must be creating quite a wave in medical circles.
Absolutely. We got a lot of wonderful emails from people who are involved in medicine or are involved in sciences, but also in the arts. And there is a lot of excitement. What we now need to do is bid for more money to hopefully, you know, sort of get some more people involved, and for this, you know, stuff to be trialed on a much bigger scale. It is something that is very promising. But as I said, it is at the beginning of research, and MRSA is a really big problem for hospitals. It is a really big problem for those people who do not respond to antibiotics. It is a very, very sinister disease.
I love the idea that to solve a sinister, difficult disease, you go to an Anglo-Saxon expert, and 1,000 years ago, we may have known more about how to treat it than we do today. It's a really exciting thing, and I look forward to hearing about the way your research proceeds. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was Dr. Christina Lee. She's from the University of Nottingham, and she has been spearheading this research into an ancient potion to solve a superbug. You're listening to Blueprint for Living with me, Michael Williams, here on RN.